Good day, everybody. Welcome to the Then and Now podcast. This is episode 50. We are almost there to the one-year anniversary of the start of this little escapade. I'm your host, John Chomo. This week, we will look at a couple of topics in the news, a really big topic and a really troubling one, plus a rest in peace to the former MLB commissioner. We'll have three good questions, plus the answers to a couple of questions from the last couple of weeks. And we'll start, as usual, with our facts for the week for February 7th through the 13th. Before we get into that, though, a belated happy birthday to B. Cole. I will not reveal B's age, but let's just say it's her Joey Bosa birthday. Some of you will understand what I mean there. So happy birthday to B. All right. Starting with February 7th. On February 7th, 1964, the equivalent of the Big Bang Theory in modern music, the Beatles arrived at JFK Airport, the recently renamed JFK Airport in New York City for their first visit to America. They played the Ed Sullivan Show on a couple nights later, went to Washington, played their first concert down there, hung out in Miami for a while, then went back to England. Speaking of England, Charles Dickens, born on February 7th, 1812. Frederick Douglass, the great abolitionist hero, born February 7th, 1817. Author Sinclair Lewis, born on that date in 1885. The late Royals reliever died way too young, the submarine pitcher Dan Quisenberry, born February 7th, 1953. Garth Brooks will be 63. Chris Rock will be 59. And Ashton Kutcher will be 47. Moving to February 8th, the College of William and Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia, was chartered by the King of England on February 8th, 1693, the second oldest college in the United States of America, Harvard being the oldest. I have been to William and Mary. We toured the campus. It's really lovely. It's a nice school. William and Mary factors into a topic later on in the podcast, actually. The Confederate States of America formed February 8th, 1861. Birthdays include a guy who almost single-handedly dismantled the Confederate States of America, the Ohio native William Tecumseh Sherman, born February 8th, 1820. Jules Verne, science fiction author, born on that date in 1828. Actor James Dean, speaking of died too young, died at the age of 24, born February 8th, 1931. And Clay Thompson, subject of a lot of trade rumors lately, will be 35. February 9th, I mentioned before the Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, February 9th, 1964. That was the record audience forever for American television at the time. 73 million people tuned in. I was watching as a youngster, as Ed Sullivan would have referred to me. And it was never the same after that. That's not really an exaggeration. John Quincy Adams was elected president by the House of Representatives. That's part of the process if nobody gets a majority of electoral votes. That happened on February 9th, 1825. The ninth president, William Henry Harrison, shortest term ever. William Henry Harrison, born February 9th, 1773. Bill Veeck, who owned at one time the Cleveland Indians and the Chicago White Sox, Bill Veeck, real great for the game of baseball. He literally helped plant the ivy on the walls at Wrigley Field when he was working for the Cubs. He was very good to the fans wherever he was in Chicago or Cleveland. Bill Veeck, born February 9th, 1914. Baseball needs more Bill Veecks. The great Carole King, singer-songwriter extraordinaire, will be 83. Joe Pesci, the actor, 82. Hall of Famer Vladimir Guerrero Sr. will be 49 on February 9th. His son is a pretty great player for the Blue Jays right now. Actor Michael B. Jordan will be 38. And ready to play in the Super Bowl on his birthday, Saquon Barkley, now of the Philadelphia Eagles, of Penn State fame, Saquon Barkley will be 28 on February 9th and playing, trying to win the championship against the Kansas City Chiefs. Good luck to him. February 10th, the Treaty of Paris ending what we called the French and Indian War, what they called in England or in Europe, the Seven Years' War, the Treaty of Paris was February 10, 1763. The 25th Amendment to our Constitution was ratified on February 10, 1967. It deals with presidential succession. It deals with the president being able to fill a vacancy in the vice presidency, among other things. It's pretty complicated. The longer you read in it, the more complicated it gets. But it was ratified on February 10, 1967. One of the great upsets in sports history, really, certainly in my lifetime, the Columbus native Buster Douglas, like a 500-to-1 underdog, knocked out the world champion Mike Tyson in a fight in Japan on February 10, 1990. Birthdays include the American swimmer Mark Spitz, who won 7 gold medals at the Munich Olympics in 1972. Mark Spitz will be 75. John Calipari, now coaching Arkansas. He got a sweet win last weekend at his old home, Kentucky. John Calipari will be 66. 2-time British Open champion, now head of the LIV Golf organization, Greg Norman, will be 69. And actress Elizabeth Banks will be 51. February 11th, 1929, Vatican City was declared an independent state from Rome, which surrounds it, and Italy, on February 11th, 1929. On that date in 1963, here they are again, the Beatles had one of the most remarkable recording sessions in history, I think. They recorded their entire album, Please Please Me, in about a 14-hour marathon session at Abbey Road Studios in London. They saved Twist and Shout for the last number they did because they knew after John Lennon sang the lead vocal on Twist and Shout a couple of times, his voice would be torn to shreds. And they wouldn't really be able to do anything else. And that was indeed the case. If you listen to Twist and Shout, I think you'll hear evidence of that. Anyway, that's really, if you want to read more about that, Google it. It's really one of the most amazing things. They recorded the entire album in 14 hours, their first great big hit album in England. Three River Stadium in Pittsburgh, a place I was in many a time, was imploded on February 11th, 2001, to make room for Acrisure Stadium, or as they still call it in Pittsburgh, Heinz Field. Thomas Alva Edison, born in Milan, Ohio, February 11, 1847. The actress Tina Louise, who played Ginger on Gilligan's Island, will be 91, believe it or not. The great Burt Reynolds, at one point in time the most famous and most money-making actor in Hollywood, Burt Reynolds, former Florida State football player, born February 11, 1936. The former governor of Florida, Jeb Bush, will be 72. Singer Sheryl Crow will be 63. The former vice presidential candidate of the Republican Party and mayor of Wasilla, Alaska, Sarah Palin, will be 61. And Steve Wieman, shout out to Steve, he'll be 63 on February 11th. Happy birthday, Steve. All right, February 12th, a lot of stuff here. The state of Georgia, the colony, if you will, at the time, the colony of Georgia was founded on February 12, 1733. In 1937, on that date, Cleveland was awarded an NFL franchise. No, not the Browns. It was the Rams. The Rams were in Cleveland through 1945. They won the 1945 National Football League Championship at Municipal Stadium. Then they packed their bags and moved to Los Angeles. Then they moved to St. Louis. Then they moved back to Los Angeles and are once again the Los Angeles Rams, a real vagabond franchise, if you will. The U.S. agreed to help train the South Vietnamese Army on February 12, 1955, during the Eisenhower administration. Turns out that that was a fairly costly, really costly decision. President Clinton was acquitted in his impeachment trial in the Senate on February 12, 1999. Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts, died on February 12, 2000, just days after his final strip appeared in newspapers. He retired, announced his retirement. They ran the last couple of months of strips, and then he passed away, sadly. Birthdays on February 12th. Here we go. Two real giants of history on February 12, 1809, Abraham Lincoln and Charles Darwin. Both born the same day, February 12, 1809. Longtime Grambling football coach Eddie Robinson, who at one time was the leading coach in wins in college football history. Well, that was surpassed by Joe Paterno at one point. Grambling football coach Eddie Robinson, born February 12, 1919. The great William Felton Russell, born February 12, 1934. The greatest winner in professional sports history in North America. Bill Russell played 13 seasons with the Boston Celtics. They won 11 NBA championships in those 13 seasons. He won two straight NCAA titles the 2 years before that at the University of San Francisco. The indomitable spirit, Bill Russell. Arsenio Hall will be 68. He has some Northeast Ohio roots, as does Larry Nance Sr. He'll be 66, as will Tom Linder. Happy birthday, Tom. 2011 Heisman winner Robert Griffin III will be 35. And former Ohio State point guard, he drove everybody else crazy, but he was beloved on that campus. Aaron Kraft will be 33. I think he's Dr. Aaron Kraft by now. But boy, was he popular. Girls would text, you know, co-eds would text each other when Aaron Kraft appeared at the local, at the campus, you know, lunch establishment or whatever. He's here, he's here. Really, really popular and really led the Buckeyes to a whole bunch of victories in basketball. Finally, on February 13th, the first state university in the United States opened. In Chapel Hill, North Carolina, the University of North Carolina, on that date in 1795. The Boston Redskins moved to Washington, February 13th, 1937, now known as the Washington Commanders. There's been some talk about changing that, maybe back to Washington football team. They're not going to be the Redskins again, I guarantee you that. But we'll see where that lands. Currently known as the Washington Commanders. Dorothy Hamill won gold in skating, figure skating, at Innsbruck, Austria in the 1976 Olympics on February 13th. President Trump was acquitted in his second impeachment trial of his first presidency on February 13th, 2021. Actually, more senators voted guilty than not guilty. It was 57 guilty, 43 not guilty, but you need two-thirds of the Senate to remove a president from office, and that did not happen. First Lady Bess Truman, born February 13th, 1885. A reporter once asked her, where do you go? You know, and she didn't like Washington very much, and they asked her why. She says, well, if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog, was her answer. Chuck Yeager, the first pilot to break the sound barrier, born February 23rd, 1923 in Myra, West Virginia. Mike Krzyzewski, the longtime coach of the Duke Blue Devils, will be 78. He won five national championships while coaching basketball at Duke and coached the American Olympic team to three gold medals as well. And the Hall of Fame wide receiver, also with some West Virginia roots, Randy Moss, will be 48. Born there, spent some time in college at Marshall University in Huntington. Hall of Famer, as I said, Randy Moss. That'll do it for our birthdays and anniversaries for this week. More on that next week, obviously. Okay, couple of topics here. First of all, we'll pay tribute to the late Faye Vincent, Major League Baseball commissioner, for a pretty short time. At the end of the 1989 season, he took over. He was the assistant commissioner. Bart Giamatti, the former Yale president, who had just banned Pete Rose for life from baseball, about a week after he did that, he died of a heart attack suddenly, late August, early September, something like that, 1989. Faye Vincent inherited the job and was commissioner through 1992. He dealt with the earthquake. One of the first things he had to do, like 6 weeks into his commissionership, was make decisions after an earthquake struck the San Francisco Bay Area while the teams were getting ready to play Game 3 of the World Series, both Bay Area teams, the Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants. An earthquake struck, Candlestick Park shook, the power went out, there were 80 or 90 deaths on highways and in the city of San Francisco. He had to deal with that. There's no real book that you can consult to deal with it. He decided that the World Series should pause for at least 10 days, and he was criticized for that. I think in hindsight, it was absolutely proper, in my opinion, for him to handle it that way. The World Series resumed after a 10-day break to both help clean up infrastructure and so forth, and to kind of pay tribute to those who passed away. And it was a 4-game sweep by the A's over the Giants. But he had to deal with that. Had a major role in the banning of Pete Rose as assistant commissioner in those days before Bart Giamatti died. And he had several other consequential moments during his brief time as commissioner. He was instrumental in the process that allowed the Colorado Rockies and the Florida Marlins to be welcomed into Major League Baseball, for instance. I really think, looking back on him, that he truly loved the game of baseball. I wish I could say that about the current commissioner. I really can't do that. I really don't think Rob Manfred, deep in his soul, loves the game, and that's a shame. I think that hurts the sport. But again, rest in peace, Faye Vincent. I think he did his job well in some really trying circumstances. Speaking of trying circumstances, how about that? Let's deal with the issue of tariffs and the current president, President Trump, and his seeming love affair with tariffs. Let's back up for a second here. Most people believe, I think mistakenly, that President Trump has been a great businessman. That really is not true. Any objective look at it, you'd have to say no. He was given the equivalent of $413 million in today's money by his father, from his father's real estate property empire. This according to the Irish Times. I'm not making it up. Most of it he got on his 18th birthday, which happened in 1964. There was a recent study released within the last month or two that claims that had Trump done nothing but deposit the money and left it alone in banks or savings and loans or whatever the case may be, on his 18th birthday, he would be wealthier today than he absolutely is. He managed to bankrupt 5 casinos. I really don't know how you bankrupt a casino, period, let alone 5. And his Las Vegas hotel casino has no liquor license to this day. You have to really screw something up for that to happen. His son, Eric Trump, admitted to Golf Magazine in 2013 that somebody asked him, they were riding around in a cart at the opening of one of the Trump golf courses, and this reporter from Golf Magazine was riding with Eric Trump. And he asked, there was a recent downturn in the economy, the recession of 2008, he was speaking of, 2008, 2009. And he kind of wondered, and he asked Eric, how did you guys finance all these new courses that you're, opening now? And Eric's answer was, we get all the money we need from Russia. Let's think about that for a second, okay? Just think about that, and I don't think I have to elaborate on that too much. Now, why does President Trump seem to have a love affair with the idea of tariffs? Tariffs, as you may know, are taxes on goods coming in from foreign countries, okay? He has threatened, in a couple of cases, to tack on 25% tariffs to our neighboring nations, Canada and Mexico, for certain items that they would import into the United States. Those crises have been at least temporarily averted, I don't know what anybody gained by any of that. And he has issued a 10% tariff on some items imported from China, which, as I speak, went into effect this morning. We'll see what kind of an effect that has on the economy. I know he doesn't read and doesn't understand history. I understand that. William McKinley seems to be a hero of his. William McKinley, born in Niles, lived in Canton most of his life, was president at the turn of the previous century. McKinley, as a congressman in 1890, sponsored a tariff bill that passed and was signed by Benjamin Harrison into law. It was known as the McKinley Tariff. It was terrible for the economy. The domestic prices, as you might expect, went way up. Prices for Americans that they paid on goods from overseas went way up. It was inflationary, and it resulted in a financial panic in 1893. The Republican Party, which McKinley was a member of, lost almost half their seats in the U.S. House in the elections the following fall. So, boy, McKinley at least seemed to have learned his lesson Because by the time he became president in March of 1897, he was moving gradually away from using tariffs as a financial weapon, if you will. I'll get to Canada and Mexico in a minute. McKinley did sponsor as president a bill creating a small tariff, but he really worked his way away from them because it had worked so badly in 1890 when they went crazy on tariffs. Tariffs really restrict trade in a lot of ways. As I mentioned, Canada and Mexico were taken off the books, off the hook, really, for the tariffs on Monday. That was all just completely unnecessary. I really don't understand what President Trump sees in the value of tariffs. I don't know if it helps him personally. I can't believe that it helps him too much personally. He's always done a lot of business in China, for instance. I really am befuddled by that. But understand, throughout history and in economics, tariffs are really kind of an almost last resort kind of thing. It's not what you lead your presidency off with, in my opinion. All right, enough about that. I would refer you, by the way, speaking of tariffs, before we move off of that, there was a famous scene in the Ferris Bueller movie with the real economist Ben Stein playing a high school teacher who was having trouble keeping his students awake during an economics lecture. I can kind of relate to that, actually. But look up Ben Stein Ferris Bueller scene. He explains tariffs and why they didn't work in 1930 very well in that very funny scene. So take a look at that. It's really worth your time. Okay, now down to my favorite part of the podcast, three good questions. We have to answer some questions from one from a couple weeks ago that we forgot to answer last week, and then an answer to last week's questions. And then we'll have three new questions. How about that? Answer to the questions from 2 weeks ago. Let me pull up here my question sheet from 2 weeks ago, and I'll get that one. Okay, it was, number one, we talked about Cooper Flagg last week. Currently averaging over 19.8 rebounds, 4 assists per game. Who was the last Power Conference freshman to reach those numbers? It was Ben Simmons from LSU. Remember Ben Simmons got drafted in the first round by the Philadelphia 76ers and really has kind of flamed out. He was the last one. The second question from last week that we didn't answer, then we'll get to the one from 2 weeks ago. I got my papers mixed up here. From last week, the other question was, since the NFL-AFL merger in 1970, only two NFL coaches have lost 3 or more conference championship games at home. Who are they? Maybe you wouldn't expect these two answers. One is Bill Cowher of the Steelers, who lost in 1994, 1997, and 2001 at home. And Andy Reid, who goes into another Super Bowl this coming weekend. Andy Reid lost while the Philadelphia Eagles coach 2003-2004 in the championship games. And he lost with the Chiefs in the 2018 season against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. So there are the questions from last week. From 2 weeks ago, we had the following question. Name the only 3 active quarterbacks to start and never lose a conference championship game. And we forgot to give you the answer that last week. So the answer to that is Jalen Hurts, still undefeated in conference championship games, Russell Wilson, and Matthew Stafford. Those 3 quarterbacks are the active quarterbacks who have started at least one and never lose a conference championship game. Okay. So we have new questions. One of them is mine. I'll take credit for the first one. There are 5 colleges and only 5 colleges that have produced as alumni both a Super Bowl winning quarterback and a president of the United States. 5 colleges have produced both a Super Bowl winning quarterback and a president of the United States as alumni. Name them. I will give you a hint, those of you who follow college sports, college football in particular. One of them is in the American Athletic Conference, one in the ACC, one in the Big Ten, one in the Mid-American Conference, And one is an FCS school, at least for the next few months, and then it will transition to being in Conference USA. So, name the only five colleges that have produced both a Super Bowl winning quarterback and a president. All right. Second question from Jeff Cole. Only four NFL franchises have played in at least one Super Bowl and never lost. Which four? And that will not be affected by the result of this Sunday's game, FYI. And the third question, also from Jeff. In the last 25 seasons, since 2000, basically, which is the only school to make the men's Final Four in men's college basketball 8 times? 8 Final Fours only by one school since 2000. Which school would that be? Okay. You can send your answers in. Please give us a shout out at 3goodquestions@gmail.com. That's 3, T-H-R-E-E, goodquestions@gmail.com. I will also remind you, as we did last week, that once March rolls around, and it will come pretty quickly probably, we will once again play the Then and Now Hoops NCAA tournament bracket game on the ESPN website, as we did last year. We'll have year two of that. We'll see if anybody can dethrone Nikki from that title. So look for that when March rolls around and we get close to tournament time. We'll set that up and have some fun with it. Okay, I think that's it for a lengthy version of Then and Now. Number 50. As I said, we're getting to the one-year anniversary here pretty fast, so kind of seems like it hasn't been that long, but it has. Thanks for listening. Once again, you can get us on Spotify. I'm John Shomo. This is Then and Now. Have a good week, everybody. Take care.